are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Greetings. Welcome back to another episode of Call for Caring's The Empowerment Hour. My name is Michelle Bowden, and I am your guide as we journey through caregiving together. The Empowerment Hour will bring inspiration, education, and resources to our audience of family caregivers. We hope today that the tangible information you receive will be used immediately after listening to the podcast. So during this season, we would like to hear from you. Please share your areas of interest for future episodes by first subscribing and then adding comments even to today's episode. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Per the Family Caregiver Alliance, the average age of a caregiver is 49.2 years. However, AARP reports increasing numbers of Gen Z and millennials are becoming caregivers. Two factors that really impact these generations are being part of that sandwich generation, those who are raising their own children and then also caring for a parent and also working full time. So full time employment while also becoming a caregiver. Now, 50% of caregivers are under the age of 50. 24% of caregivers are caring for two or more people. On today's episode, we welcome a caregiver, Sean Houston, who cared for her two family members while she was also under the age of 45. So she is here to share her journey with us. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's start off by you kind of sharing your background.
I'm originally from Michigan. And my parents are Southern, though. They're from right here in Georgia. And we moved back here after my dad retired from General Motors.
Okay.
Once we got here, one thing I can say, growing up, I've always seen caregiving up close and personal. Mm-hmm. My parents took care of my mother's mother mm-hmm. for as long as I can remember. That was the only grandparent I have had since birth. And I watched them take care of her, which kind of made me know that that's something you're supposed to do when you get to a certain age. But back to my background, yes, I'm from Michigan. I went to college at Morgan State University in Baltimore. I had an accounting degree. Numbers were not my thing, but I was good at it. So eventually I ended up in sales and worked for the newspaper. And then I went to the insurance industry. While in the insurance industry, I specialized in senior-focused insurance. Mm-hmm. I love seniors, always have, and always related to them very well. So it made me happy to be able to help them. So that's kind of my background, which got me to my caregiving journey.
Awesome. So, you know, you developed that relationship with your grandmother for, you know, just... And that could be part of your journey, why you enjoy seniors, because you were able to appreciate that senior person in your life kind of growing up. So I love to hear that. We never know how our past experience impact us for our livelihood even, right?
And yes. So
that's amazing that that came kind of full circle for you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I remember being a little girl, knowing how to sneak into every hospital in the area. Because you remember back in the day, you couldn't go up to certain floors if you weren't a certain age and stuff. And there was a big age gap between my brother and sister and me. Mm-hmm. So they were teenagers when I was born. So like I was always the only one at home and the youngest with my mom, my dad, and my grandma. So I really appreciated my grandma and being able to spend time with her before she got sick.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. And so that's for people who can enjoy that relationship now. You know, our grandparents have so many amazing stories about their life and just endurance for some of the things that we take advantage of that they had that they never even heard of. And it didn't even exist during their time period, and how they persevere through so many different things. Even though things are different in that generation, some things are the same. How do I persevere through these challenges? You know, how am I inspired to continue on? And so being able to enjoy that generation is so important because they have so much still to offer us. So let's talk a little bit about your own caregiving journey with your loved one or your loved one.
As I said before, I'm the youngest, and for some odd reason, I just knew I was gonna be the one to take care of mom and dad. So basically, as they got older, I was always very close with them and, kind of would come in, make sure they were okay, that type of thing. My dad got died. Well, let me go back. I said I was in senior insurance, right? And during that journey, the first clients I had were my mother and my father. Okay. I went to their house the first day out in the field, okay? Because I knew there were things they were lacking that would help them in the future. Since they were always middle class, I knew that if something happened to them, they weren't going to be helped by, Medicare, Medicaid, I should say, or anything like that with any of their long-term care needs or anything like that. So my first visit was to them to get them some long-term care insurance. Okay. I knew I was going to need it. Okay. So we took care of that. We also did some other things that were good for them, but that also opened up the discussion to make sure that at that time they did all the other things that they needed to do. They went and got a new will. Okay. They went and got a power of attorney for me. They went and got a medical power of attorney too,
Yes,
advanced
financial
directives.
and health power of attorneys. That's right.
And with all of that and advanced directives, so I knew exactly what to do because, as I told my parents, if we have this discussion once, we never have to have it again. When the forms come in, we put them in an envelope, we put them in a safe, and it's there for me whenever something happens. So basically, we were able to get the long-term care insurance, and the company I worked for did an easy issue long-term care insurance that everybody would get first. That way they know they have something. And then after that, you would try for a fully underwritten based on their health. Well, I'm glad I got the easy issue because my dad got diagnosed with dementia right after that. At that point, he was no longer qualified to get anything else. So whatever I had on him at that point, that's all I had. With my mother, I was able to get a fully underwritten policy. But since I told her that I was never going to put her in a facility, literally, I got a home health care policy for her. Okay. After that point, though, I was able to, their health was getting a little sketchy. Mom had had a heart attack. Daddy had the dementia. He also had diabetes. He was on insulin, that type of thing. So we decided to get a house together. Okay. The house we got, of course, it was whatever I wanted because they knew eventually that was just going to be the house that I would have with, And so I got a townhouse, which sounds crazy because it had multiple levels, but the long-term care paid for those chair lifts in the house. So we had one from the basement, which was the garage, to the main floor, and then from the main floor to the second floor where my mother's room was. And then I told them if they want to go to the third floor, they're going to have to figure that out on their own. Well, gave them something to do on the weekends because they would love to spend the weekends on the third floor because they had a deck they could walk up to. So they were very comfortable up there. So we did all of that. And again, things started happening. My dad had to have open heart surgery. My mom had to have open heart surgery. My mom had not one, but three different hip replacements. Because literally, he was on disability from having an injury at General Motors. And literally, it was a lot of it was from walking on concrete and just things that messed up her hips and her knees. So she had two hip replacements, but she had to have the third because one was defective. I think people might remember those defective hip things from back in the day. So she had all of that done, and the high cholesterol, the we were working on a lot of different things, but eventually, Daddy was going to daycare, every day, adult
Okay.
daycare for memory loss.
Okay.
And mom was, you know, she was sick, but what really changed everything is she had a major stroke. And that stroke led her to being bedbound, and that led to all the basically me needing to stop working in order to take care of them.
Wow.
That's kind of how I got to that point. Because daddy, we were managing pretty well. I was able to get him off to daycare, and he was gone all day. They would drop him off in the evening. That's why I live in Fulton County. Shout out to Fulton County, who has really great adult daycare services, which I couldn't get where we did live before in Fayette County. So, yeah, literally, that's what led to me being at home and being a full-time caregiver for both my mom and my dad.
So how long did you work before you stopped being a full-time, before you started being a full-time caregiver?
I'm thinking during that journey, well, let me be honest. What actually happened is I was doing my thing, selling insurance. I was in Alabama, and my mom called me and let me know she had a mini stroke. I was like, oh God, because I couldn't get back for hours. So that curbed the fact that I like to move. I used to like to work out in the outer areas of Georgia and stuff like that. Those people were underserved because nobody was willing to go out there to take care of them. So me and one of my good friends, who was also an insurance agent, we would go out to, you know, near the Florida Georgia line and Alabama and all this other kind of stuff to take care of these people who were not being served. But once that happened, I all of a sudden became an inner city agent and started selling to people, and because I never wanted to be that far away and couldn't get back home in time. I always regret not being able to talk to the doctors right then after she had the mini stroke, because after that point, they started doing those commercials. The first sign of a major stroke is a mini stroke, or a TIA, as they call it. So, and I didn't know that at the time. I figured, you know, we change her diet a little bit, she's fine, but we needed more change than that.
There was just so much that you just introduced in that in just kind of sharing your journey. And so it is amazing that you had the insight and, you know, a blessing that you were in that industry to understand about the long-term care insurance, the power of attorney, because many people don't understand that's part of their world, right? They just figure putting the name on the bank account is enough, and you know, I'm their daughter, so people will come to me, and it's just so much more than that. And so this is just a great opportunity for our listeners to again understand what we've said on this show many a times about the power of planning, you know, the journey for your parents, even if they're not sick right now, but they're older, or even for yourself. So that living will, the advanced directives, all those things are just so important for you to be able to be in control, even though mentally, physically, you can't control that current scenario. But you can plan to be able to be in control even when you're not here. And so that is what estate planning, the living will, the power of attorney, that is what those things do for you. And
Yes.
so, if nothing else from this conversation today, please look into that for yourself, right? To be able to do that, to see what that looks like. Often states will have some type of template that you can begin with. Of course, it's best that you actually go to an attorney, an elderly law attorney, estate planning attorney, who can help you with that, but at least use the templates that each state generally has somewhere on their website to be able to begin. So thank you for sharing that. That's an awesome way for
I would
us.
like to add, I would like to add one little quick thing too. I was talking to my brother last night, and I think I said I'm the youngest. Well, there's a 15-year age gap. So he'll be turning 65 this year, right? And literally, we had the very same discussion last night. He's like, Sean, I got everything all set up. I talked to my financial planner. I put everything together. It's going to be in an envelope I'm going to send to you. So if
Oh,
anything
wonderful.
happens, you know, but that was because I did that with mom and dad. So he knew it was his turn. I always say, do it while you're fine. There's nothing wrong with him, but we never have to talk about that again.
That's right. And we never know when something goes wrong, right? So
Yes,
we
yes.
just never know. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, as we talked about the age of the average caregiver, and you kind of felt lower than that age. You were closer to your early 40s, when you kind of started the journey for both of your parents. So, did you find resources were challenging for caregivers your age or younger? Or kind of talk a little bit about that for me.
I found that resources were very challenging. I knew number one, their income level was going to be a challenge because you can't really get anything, which is why I had the long-term care. But even something as simple as I had found an organization that would pay for a senior, well, for a caregiver respite, and send you on a trip, but you had to be 50. That's not fair. I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm taking care of both my mom. I'm like, I called them too. I was like, I'm taking care of my mom and my dad, but I can't get a free trip because I'm not 50. That wasn't fair to me. But I found that it was hard to find resources. And aside from me knowing to move to Fulton County to get the adult daycare for my dad, there wasn't anybody really taught to say X, Y, and Z. This is what you should do. If I didn't have my insurance knowledge of certain things, I really would have been lost. Luckily, I guess the main thing was that I had enough income coming in to still take care of them without working. I mean, most people are not going to be in that situation, but it was a blessing that, they did retire from good companies that have pensions and all the other good stuff. I did have a housekeeper that I got right before mom and dad got sick, who was cleaning the house. I know that sounds minuscule in the whole gambit of things,
It does
but
not.
I always knew. I mean, people walk in my house, they were like, this is the cleanest house I've ever been in my whole entire life. Smells like Pine Sol and lemons and Clorox. So literally, that was always good. So she even would take care or look after them for maybe an hour or two while I was out to be able to do things. During that time, also the being able to pick up your groceries, like at Walmart, came into fruition. So I didn't have to shop. You have no idea how wonderful that was because shopping takes a lot of time, and I didn't have that time. So literally, I would put in my order at night, and when one of the caregivers would come in, I'd go get the food and come back. So the long-term care also paid for a CNA to be in there once a day to help me take, because I couldn't put both of them to bed at the same time. So I would need help at night. In the morning was fine. I get daddy out the house. He's, at daycare, but and I take the dog who was also older and sickly, but that we won't talk about that. But I would take him out and then I would go up and wake up my mom. The one thing that brought me joy too during that time was my mom would always wake up with a smile. So I knew I must have been doing something right, right? Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I probably, oh, I'm sorry, not to
No,
cut
go
you off.
ahead.
I was about to say, I probably went through about 15 to 20 different CNAs until I found the right two that would help me. One was during the week, one was the weekend girl. I was very particular who was in my house and who helped me take care of my mom. He had that had the right kind of spirit. And once I found two people like that, I stuck with them for a few years. They were awesome.
That's wonderful. That can be a challenge finding the right CNA. And so, not to don't get discouraged by the first 5, 10, 12 not working out. It may take a little time to find the right CNA for your family. And so that you're comfortable with leaving, someone with your loved ones, particularly in this time, it's really challenging to find healthcare workers in general. So that puts a little extra weight on getting the right person. So if you're using an agency, if you're doing one-on-one, just stay encouraged and prayed up about it that you're able to find the right caregiver, because sometimes it can take a while to find one. So I just want to plant that seed of encouragement for people to know that it's coming. You may be in that season where you're still looking, you're still looking. Even for my own father, it took us several caregivers to find the right two. And we have the same schedule. There's someone during the week and then another person who's on the weekend. And he has been truly blessed by these two people. They take awesome care of him. But it took us a while and some frustration to get there, but we did, right? And so, you know, we talk about what resources are available. There is this gap in care in which either you make too much money or you make too little money. And so that group of folks are being cared for can be challenging about the resources that are available. And so I always encourage people to use the Empower Line for the AAAs in your area. For the Atlanta Regional Commission is our AAA. They have a number you can call. Mostly, if you look at AAA for your particular state, for Georgia, it's 404-463-3333. And that's a number that you can call and ask many of questions about adult daycare, about grants that may be available for care, how to get started on Medicaid, are you Medicaid eligible, Meals on Wheels, transportation, so caregiving support. So that's a number or the empowerment line that you can reach out to. But the area on aging in your area is a great place to start for you to begin to get some resources and kind of help yourself. So, Sean, you talked about kind of the caregivers being available. Now, you were caring for two parents, which can be a lot. So, were there other people that you kind of latched on to kind of be a part of your caring team as well to kind of help you with that journey, or how did that work for you?
I really didn't have anybody to kind of reach out to. The majority of my family is in Savannah. I'm in Atlanta. That is not close. My sister literally lived on the other side of town, which sounds like not a big deal until you realize it's over an hour away. And my brother was in Michigan. So, those people were available. Plus, I had two really great cousins who would call me on a regular basis to, for emotional support more than anything else. But unfortunately, it was really just me taking care of my parents and the dog who was, oh, I hate to keep talking about the dog, but the dog was a pet that my mother wanted. That my dad did not want. Okay. I got him at 3 months. My dad gave him some funny look when he came in the house, but the house dog was housebroken, so that was good. He said, who gonna take care of that? Within a week, he was saying, I gotta take my buddy for a walk. I was like, oh my God.
Love
I swear that literally that dog gave him more energy and life. They were like two peas in a pod. They grew old together. Literally, when my dad passed, that dog howled all day long. He was grieving. And I'm like, how does he even know? But
They
that,
know,
they
they know.
know. And I
Yeah,
was like,
absolutely.
6 months later, the dog was dead, literally. So, it is what it is, but I'm happy I got him because mom and dad loved him for a good 16 years.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing. And you know, pets can really be a source of energy and love and commitment to someone, you know, going through their journey. And so, we just lost a pet here. So I get it.
Loss, yeah.
How impactful that can be. And for someone who is homebound, having someone that is always there with them, looking forward to see them every time they see them, it can be such a positive energy for them. And so, their pets are important. So don't underestimate what pets can do, particularly for people who are really homebound or seniors who don't get the love and excitement that they used to get when they were out in the world doing all these wonderful things. A pet does that regardless of how much money you have, what your title is. And so, pets can be wonderful for people. So yeah, that's awesome. And sometimes it can be a challenge taking care of those pets because they need food, they need vaccines. And here in Atlanta, there's an organization called Pet Transitions. who helps with those type of things, food and vaccines, and may even come and walk your dog. So if you're in the Atlanta area, Pet Transitions is an organization you may want to reach out to if you're having those challenges with taking care of the pet. And I'm sure in many other cities there probably are or the other organizations that may support you in that way as well. So thank you for sharing that, Sean, because I think that's very important. And so as you lost your parents transitioned, kind of tell me what support you utilized, counseling services, support groups during that initial grieving period, because we continue to grieve the loss of our loved ones. You know, that doesn't go away. It may get better, but it's still a grieving process. And so tell me how you kind of got through that initial grieving period.
Well, as I always tell people, I'm never going to get through it, but it's better. Actually, I think I was sharing with you earlier, it's coming up on the 6 year anniversary of my mother passing on the 9th of March. And that first year was a lot. My brother immediately came to my side before my mother transitioned. He had been there for about 4 days because her organs were shutting down, and we knew that she wasn't gonna last long. And literally, he was there. He stayed with me for a month, literally. He knew how close I was to mom, and dad was still there with me. So, you know, between taking, and actually, I had just started a new job when this happened to mom. It was at home, of course, but I was trying. I knew that the long-term care money was going to end the end of that year. So my goal was, you know, I had my insurance license. I could work for home, make a little income here to continue our journey through the next however many years. They gave me some time off from work because literally it happened. I think I had been working maybe 10 days and all of this just happened. And I was like, I gotta finish because now my income's gonna change. You know, now I'm gonna need the extra money because most of the money was coming from my mom's policy, which was about to end. And I was like, I gotta finish. I gotta make sure that the job is solid. They gave me a couple weeks off because, you know, to plan the funeral, to do everything that I needed to do. Luckily, mom had told me everything she wanted. I knew what dress and the earrings and the wig and all that other good stuff.
Beautiful.
So I made sure all that was taken care of. Luckily, my brother and sister, they knew that I don't want to, they knew that I knew what to do. So they kind of let me do what I needed to do. After the funeral, and everything, like I said, my brother stayed for about another 2 weeks after that. And we kind of got the house back in order, moved some stuff out because I had a room set up. You know, it was a hospital bed with the Tempur-Pedic stuff, and I had a horror lift for, you know, just the whole thing was set up for her to make sure she was comfortable. And Daddy had his room all set up in the main floor too, because he had had some toes cut off because of his diabetes, so he needed a walk-in shower, which is why that house was so perfect because he just walked in the shower. And everybody had their own bathrooms and stuff, so they were all individualized, right? I was trying to take good care of them. So after all of that happened, my dad was doing better, go figure. And literally he fell because he had the dementia, so he would forget things. So he fell and he was fine. We had to, everybody came in, he was fine. But because of dementia, he forgot he had fell and that he was in terrible pain. And he got up to go to the bathroom and fell again. This time he fractured his hip. So literally, we took him to Grady, and he had the surgery, but he was in his mid-80s. Unfortunately, when you get to a certain age, you any surgery is dicey, as they say. And I didn't really know that then until I started talking to his sister, and like, oh no. She's like, I hope he makes it out. And I'm like, what do you mean you hope he makes it out? It's just a little hip surgery. Mom's had like three. It's not a big deal. They're like, Sean, he's 85. Well, he's 84. He's 84. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know. So I'm going through this and hoping everything would be fine. I visited him in the hospital and they were like, he'd been asking for you all morning. I was like, I'm here. Let me make sure he gets fed because he wouldn't eat until I got there. But he kept telling me about a party. He's like, Sean, oh, we're going to this party. It's gonna be amazing. Everybody gonna be there. And he kept talking to me about this party. Now, this man used to be a deacon. He don't drink. He don't do none of that. He doesn't party, okay? So I'm sitting like, what is this old man talking about, right? He must be crazy, right? Okay. All I can say is within 36 hours, he had passed on. I believe in the afterlife. I believe you get to go to heaven. I believe there are people waiting to help you tr make your transition over there. He kept talking about my uncle, Charles, who he used to call Uncle Drummer because that was his last name, and his sister, Edith, who was one of his favorites, and they were all passed on. But that's all he talked about while we were in the hospital on that visit. So I'm sitting there like, why does he keep talking about these people? In my mind, they came and got him and took him away. That's how I feel
That was
because
the party. That was the party. He was
that
that's
was the
the party he's
party.
going to. That's fine.
And literally, when I got to the hospital to, make arrangements, they had him still in his bed. He looked like he was asleep, and he looked so peaceful. I had to take a picture. I know that sounds morbid or weird or whatever, but he looked perfectly at peace. Even the doctors were crying. I've never seen a doctor cry in my whole entire life, but his two doctors were crying. They're like, we did all we could. And, it is what it is. But after that, I made one promise to myself after the funeral and everything. And that was that I wouldn't do anything major in my life for 1 year to give myself a time to settle into my new reality. I did take a really good trip.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a Caribbean cruise. I was gone like 12 days. I had a great time. But it was by myself because I figured I needed to spend some time with just me and figure out what I want to do next with my life. Because I was still relatively young. So I'm just like, okay, well, let's see what we're going to do. So I did that. Now, I didn't do any counseling, okay? Only because I'm unusually strong and strong-willed. Everybody's not like that. Talking to my friends and my family was really enough for me. I handle change really easily. I know that sounds crazy, but I do, and I always have. Which is one of the reasons why they knew they could leave their caretaking for their later years to me because they knew I would adjust to whatever was going to happen, right? After that, I was blessed to have a friend who told me about a new job that he was hiring for in value-based care. And with my empathy for the senior population and my knowledge of senior insurance and my caretaking with my parents, that's how I kind of went into that field. And it was very rewarding for me. And I always tell people my job is part of my therapy because every day I'm meeting seniors who might not have somebody like me to take care of them. But if I can keep them healthier for a little bit longer, then that's my reward, as they say. And that makes me happy every day. Literally, I come to work every day smiling.
Well, that's wonderful. That's an absolute blessing. And for everyone, how you receive the transition is different. So taking a picture at that moment, there's nothing that's crazy about how I do something as an individual. That's my ability to be able to receive this and process this. So if I need to take the picture, mom gave me all the directions, which is awesome, absolutely awesome, because sometimes that's a fight among siblings. Simple things as what she will wear, how should her hair be, what suit should he wear, what shoes should he wear, right? And so when we do that planning for those who are left behind, it takes a lot of the bickering away and sometimes can, dissolve family relationships and connections. And so we want to be able to do that as much as possible. And, if counseling for you is conversations with friends or families where you get enough out of that, then that is for you. Everyone is a little bit different. And so, however that looks like, if we wear that cape all the time, we have a vulnerability there that has to be able to be addressed in some way. So even if that's a friend having a conversation with us, giving us direction, encouragement, we all need someone to be able to do that and to uplift us, encourage us to continue with the caregiving for two parents another day, right? So we just do it individually. So there's no wrong way, there's no right way to do it. It's just how you do it in order to be able to get through the next day, to get through the next month, right? And to carry on with your life. Because once you stop caregiving, that's like you've lost not only that loved one, but you've lost a role or a part of your life that was there just that instantly. So now you have to readjust. And so I'm glad you were able to do that on a cruise, which is very nice. So that's wonderful.
And as I always say, then I lost the dog after that. And literally after the dog passed, yes, I got a puppy within 8 weeks, literally. And because the house was empty, I was not used to having an empty house at all. So literally I got a puppy, Buddy, BJ, Buddy Jr., because the other dog was Buddy. And yes, he turned 6 this year, and it's been a joy because I needed something to help me move on.
Well, that's great. So now tell me about your self-care routine. Now you had a lot to do during that time period. Can you talk a little bit about, what was your self-care routine during that process, or did you have a self-care routine during that process?
Okay, my guilty pleasure was TV.
That
Definitely
part.
did that kind of kept me connected to the world that was going on around me. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but between that and football, which I had, of all things, my dad has always been a football fan, right? As a child, I know he wanted a boy. It's okay. Because he would take me to all the football games. I love football, right? But he never got my mom into it, right? I would say about a year before she had her stroke, I was getting her into football. So literally, after she had her stroke, she was like in the bed. She couldn't really talk that great, but we were watching the Falcons when they were in that Super Bowl, and she was too mad after halftime, and they started losing. But we won't
Weren't
go
we
into that.
all? Yes.
Weren't we all?
Flashback. Oh, Lord. Yes.
So that was also a relief for me. I love football. I love TV and movies and stuff. And that kind of gave me an escape.
And whatever that looks like for you individually, and I always say you don't have to leave your home to get some type of self-care. It doesn't have to be something that involves money. It can literally be something you do for 5 minutes or an hour, or watching a TV program, whatever that looks like for you, just to be able to de-stress, calm down for a minute, and stop thinking about caregiving and what you have to do next or tomorrow, or what you didn't do right. That's great. All right, so we're going to take a short sponsor break and then return to learn more about Sean's caregiving journey. We'll be right back.
Call for Caring Incorporated, in partnership with Bellevue Baptist Church and the Alpha Eta Chapter of Chi Eta Phi Sorority Incorporated, presents the 2024 Chicago Family Caregiver Expo. Family caregivers will have their cups filled with resources from over 35 vendors, empowerment through expert presenters, self-care through health screenings, vaccines, manicures, and massages, transforming experiences through yoga, meditation, and virtual dementia tours, care scholarships for respite care, song and music through the Caregiver Celebration Concert. Join us Saturday, June 8th, 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the Bellevue Ministry Center, located at 10715 South Halsted Street, Chicago. Register today at callforcaring.org.
Three. Welcome back. We are speaking with Sean Houston. Sean, let's jump into the discussion, kind of focusing a little bit on young caregivers. What word of encouragement or words of encouragement would you offer young caregivers supporting their loved ones?
Life will continue after they're gone, and you can have an even better life than you had before. Those years of sacrifice will be rewarded. Like literally, I felt like, oh my gosh, my best years of my career are gone. No, they're actually right now. God redeems the time, and you got to believe and understand that your time will be redeemed. I feel I'm right where I should be, even if I would have worked those years. And being able to work those years gave me some grace and favor with God that you didn't think you would really have, but actually it does come. And so, like, literally, it was a blessing to be able to do it for them because, as I always say, they gave me an amazing childhood. I mean, amazing. I had a great childhood. Everybody can't say that. You know what I'm saying? Anything. I mean, yeah, I was a good kid too, but they were amazing. And my thing was, if they were so amazing to me as a child, I need to be amazing to them as adults, as elderly adults. They needed me as much as I needed them back then. But God redeems the time, so don't worry about that.
That's right. I know. That's wonderful. I love it. Awesome. So, what are two actions you would recommend that caregivers take immediately after listening to the podcast?
Take a breath. Realize that you're not the only one who has gone through this journey. Okay. And start making not plans for them to be gone, but start thinking about what you want your life to look like when they are gone, because that is going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to be just as suddenly as you got into that caregiving role. So you need to figure out what do you want your life to look like on the other side of caregiving, because your life's not over. It's just you're in a little rough spot, which we all have during our journey in life. So start thinking about that. Remember that there is life after caregiving, and when it happens, it's going to be suddenly. You just got to start preparing.
Absolutely. Awesome. So now, are there websites, phone numbers, social media sites, et cetera, that you recommend caregivers visit or follow that would assist them with their journey?
I think I mentioned this company be before. It was called Rhodes Scholar. They offer caregiving vacations, if that makes any sense. And as long as you're 50, you can get one.
That's awesome. Road Scholar.
Yeah, like Roads Scholar. Yeah. And they have all kinds of really great trips anyway, because I'm thinking about taking one of their regular trips. They do have trips up to, I want to say, $1,500 that are for caregivers. Yeah, so I would suggest that for those of you who are have parents or a person that they are giving care to who's on Medicaid, make sure you sign up and get the money that is available to you. I mean, if you can get it, you know, it helps. You know, it just helps. Other than that, I mean, if you live in certain counties, make sure you look for things like adult daycare and stuff like that that you can maybe use as a transition to one thing or another. I know in my county, I did pay for his adult daycare, but it can be anywhere from what I paid to nothing, if I'm not mistaken. So you just had to see if you qualify for those things. So that was a godsend because he literally went to adult daycare for 10 years. Like literally. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
amazing. And you
Yeah.
know, that's one of the things about the long-term care plans, and things like that. They can support that type of care, right? Some
Yes.
of the Medicaid programs, instead of you having in-home care, you can certainly do adult daycare as well. And so those are
Yes.
things that you may want to look for in your state, in your county, in your city, what the
Yes.
opportunities are. And often they will have transportation also. So either the adult daycare will have transportation, or the state or county resources may have transportation as well. So you don't have to, be concerned about that, right?
Yes. Yeah, they picked them up and dropped them off every day. And I actually became really good friends with one of his the people that would help him on the bus. He's a senior now, and he's one of my friends. All everybody that helped me through my journey became a friend, a close friend, and we all still help take care of each other.
Yes, that's wonderful. That's what it's all about, taking care of one another. And so
Yes.
thank you, Sean, for joining us today and sharing your journey. We appreciate you encouraging our listeners on their current journey. So thank you.
You're so very welcome.
Absolutely. The Empowerment Hour is presented by Call for Caring. Our organization supports caregivers through resources like today's podcast, our expos, courses, and care scholarship grants for respite care. We are excited to announce the Family Caregiver Expo is coming to Chicago on June the 8th. You can find out more information about the Chicago Family Caregiver Expo, our upcoming Family Caregiver Day Out in the Atlanta area, and other upcoming events, training classes, care grants, and programs at callforcaring.org. Today's podcast can be heard on uptomeradio.com or your favorite podcast platform. You can also view some of our earlier episodes and expo events on the Call for Caring Inc. YouTube channel. We hope that today's episode of the Empowerment Hour has met our goal to educate, elevate, and empower caregivers during their caregiver journey. Thank you.